Hi, friends, and welcome to the Plus Mommy Podcast. I'm your host, Jen McClellan, and here we explore plus-size pregnancy, motherhood, and body love. From bumps to bellies, we talk about it all. Now, let's get started. Hi, friends. Today, we're joined by Paulina, an ultrasound technologist, and she's been working in hospital inpatient, outpatient, and clinic settings for quite some time. And for the past 5 years, she's been an OBGYN ultrasound technologist working with patients of all sizes. And I am thrilled and just ready to have this conversation because we talk about ultrasounds often and how it can be a little different when you exist in a larger body. So welcome to the show, Paulina.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'm so excited just to dive in. You know, I get messages from people that are like, you know, oh, they couldn't, you know, see what they hoped we'd see at this time. Is there something wrong with me? Or, oh, I was left bruised or I feel badly about myself. And I'm like, let's have a conversation with an expert in this field to know what are the expectations? What are some things that we can maybe do to emotionally and physically prepare for an ultrasound? And maybe even what can we share with other techs in their field about supporting patients in larger bodies? So let's dive right in. Will you just tell us a little bit about these ultrasound machines and how they work?
So quickly to just give a pretty basic overview of what ultrasound is. So the wand, or what's called a transducer, and there's either a vaginal or an abdominal one. So that's kind of like the camera that we use to view the organs that we're looking at, or the babies in this case. And so basically they send out sound waves that go through tissue and they create the images of the organs or the baby or whatever we're looking at. So yeah, that's pretty much the basics of what ultrasound is. And so it is the preferred imaging for pregnancy because ultrasound travels really well through tissue and fluid. So that's why we can see the uterus really well. And we can see inside the uterus where the amniotic fluid is, which really helps to see the baby.
That's so cool to think of like how that all works and that it's technology that we've had for how long now have they been? I think like, you know, when I was little, my mom wasn't getting ultrasounds.
Yeah, not too long. It's really, there's been quite a lot of advancements in just the last couple decades, really. But yeah, I remember when I was, you know, when I was young and my mom was pregnant with my little brother, that was, you know, that was something they did once throughout the pregnancy.
Yeah.
And so that was, you know, like 26 or 27 years ago. So now we're doing them left and right.
Right. Which there are pros and cons. We know that the, you know, measurements nearing the end of pregnancy can be off a little in either direction, right?
Yeah. So the bigger the baby is, the more room for error, just because it's harder to get the accurate landmarks that we're looking for when we do those measurements. So pretty much it's at the end of pregnancy, we can, you know, we can come up with the measurements, which will give us an estimated weight, but that a lot of times that will be plus or minus up to a pound. So, you know, we can get a general idea if baby is, you know, on the bigger side or on the smaller side, but yeah, it's definitely, you know, not going to be down to the ounce.
Yeah. And a pound, I mean, you think when you're giving birth to a baby, that can feel a big difference between like 7 and 8. I've got a really great article from Evidence-Based Birth on induction or cesarean birth for a big baby concern. So I'm going to put that in the show notes over at plusmommy.com because that's something we hear a lot too around the end of pregnancy is concerns of, oh, we think your baby is going to be so big. And so, you know, you might want to consider this. So this evidence-based article kind of helps people decide what might be the next great steps for them. But let's talk a little bit about that darn adipose tissue and how it can sometimes impact when you're giving an ultrasound. Now you work with people of all shapes and sizes. So what is your experience with those of us who happen to have, you know, a larger body, and especially those of us who carry weight in our abdominal area?
So here's the thing. There's not really a clear answer. So adipose can be difficult to for the ultrasound waves to travel through. So some people have adipose that's more dense, which can decrease the resolution or the clarity of the images. And then I've also had patients that they're, you know, they're definitely larger, but the way their adipose is, it's almost like ultrasound techs like to say it's fluffy looking.
Oh, wow.
And that the ultrasound waves have no problem really traveling through that. And it's pretty easy to see through. So there's not really a one size fits all answer to even that. But basically, the more adipose you have, regardless of what type it is or how dense it is, just putting more space or more distance between the transducer and the baby. So as those sound waves travel, they're going to just lose the clarity because the sound wave travels through the tissue, you know, through all the different tissue layers. So that's going to be skin, fat, muscle, and then the actual organ itself until we can see, you know, baby through the uterus. So by the time those sound waves travel, they have attenuated, which means they just get less clear as they send the sound waves back up to create the image. So basically, adipose density aside, the more distance there is for the sound waves to travel, it's just the natural thing, or it's how ultrasound physics works, is that that image gets a little bit less clear the more it has to travel through.
That makes so much sense. And I love the way that you explained it in a way that I think everyone listening can understand. And that's so cool that adipose tissue like is not the same for everyone. I think that's so fascinating.
Yeah. It's definitely not the same.
And then that also makes sense why, you know, that first ultrasound you're getting when they're determining the pregnancy, which is almost always the transvaginal ultrasound, is easier to see then, I would think, because you're not going through, you know, the abdomen where more adipose tissue would be. What is your experience? We could start with those early on ultrasounds with transvaginal.
Yeah, so you're right. When you're doing the abdominal scan early, baby and everything that we're looking at is a lot smaller at that time. So it is harder to get that image if you're traveling through more adipose versus a vaginal ultrasound, that the transducer is right up against the cervix. So we're looking right into the uterus. So there's really not much in between the transducer and the gestational sac or the baby. The only thing that even with a vaginal, regardless of your size, depending on how your uterus is positioned, will also make it easier or more difficult.
Wow, fascinating. What advice do you have someone who is going in for their first ultrasound, and it will likely be a vaginal ultrasound, to help them feel comfortable and prepared for that type of ultrasound experience?
So for a vaginal ultrasound, most places will always have you have an empty bladder for that, because the bladder can get in the way when you're doing the internal, you know, vaginal ultrasound. So you're not going to have to worry about sitting with the full bladder.
That's later on for everyone. Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, the best you can do is do what you can to make yourself comfortable, and just know that, you know, if you're pretty early, they're probably going to have to do a vaginal. So, you know, make sure that you're comfortable, you know, when you have to get undressed, that you don't feel like super self-conscious as far as, you know, hygiene and all that stuff. And then, and as for the techs, like, honestly, we don't care. We've seen it all. Like, we don't pay attention to any of that. So to make the experience as least uncomfortable for yourself as possible, do your best to just kind of relax all your pelvic muscles. What I find is more uncomfortable for patients is when they're super tensed up.
Yeah.
It tends to make the insertion of the probe less comfortable. And then also sometimes your uterus can contract, and then it'll just make the whole exam take longer in general.
There's so much I want to unpack here, because I love how you said, we don't care. You can shave, not shave, wax, whatever it is. And I think that we get so stuck in our head about these appointments and looking a certain way. But like you said, you've seen it all. You've seen bodies of all shapes and sizes and big bushes of nowhere. Like, we just need to let go of it and just feel comfortable in our bodies the way they are. I do recommend, if anyone is concerned about hygiene, or maybe you've been at work all day and your work is on your feet, you can bring in some baby wipes or even just regular, you know, little towelettes, and you can wipe down beforehand if that brings you more comfort. And I also want to be clear to say, you don't have to consent to a vaginal ultrasound, or any ultrasound really, but especially I want to take a second to talk about the vaginal ultrasound, because it is inserted into your vagina. And for some people, they may not be comfortable with that. And so if you're holding on to any concerns or fears, I really encourage you to have an open and honest dialogue with your care provider. And, you know, long before you're meeting with someone great like Paulina to have that ultrasound, but, you know, address those concerns and know that nothing is mandatory, but know that the utmost in most circumstances, compassion and care and kindness happens during these exams. Can you maybe speak to a little bit of that?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. If it's something you're not comfortable with or for whatever reason, you can definitely make that known. And what I personally do in my clinic is no matter what size you are, I always start my exams abdominally because I want to be as least invasive as possible. So I usually tell people, we're going to start up top on your belly and we're going to see if I can see everything I need to, which would be the gestational sac, the baby, so I can measure the baby and get a good heart rate on the baby. Those are the main things. We want to establish that it's an intrauterine pregnancy, which means it's in the uterus where it should be.
Yeah.
And so I always, that's just kind of how I do it. I know some places are different, but I always say, we're going to start off up top on your belly. And then if I can't see what I need to see, we usually do a vaginal, and if you're okay with that. So yeah, you can definitely always decline that. That is, and if you're at a clinic where they just completely skip the abdominal and they just say they're going to do a vaginal right away, you can always request, can you please try abdominally first?
Oh, that's great. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
And we know that for people of size, it can, your care provider might recommend, hey, we'll wait a little bit longer, or we'll wait for the next appointment to do an abdominal ultrasound. So I know we got baby centers and all these great things that tell us when you're going to have certain exams. But because of everything that Paulina explained with the adipose tissue, once the baby gets a little bigger, it can get easier to see and to get the measurement and get the information that they yeah. need as well. So that's really helpful. About how big would you say the wand is for someone who has never seen it and is just like envisioning what it could look like?
Well, that's also depends on the facility you're at. So like, you're speaking about vaginal probe, right?
Yes, yes.
It looks a lot longer than it actually is. That's mostly so that it has a long handle so that, you know, our hand doesn't have to be all the way up there, that there's a little bit of space for you. So it's just long enough so that we can insert it into the vaginal canal, much like a tampon, maybe a little bit bigger, like maybe a little bit, because the top of the transducer has the crystals in it, which make up the, you know, where the sound waves come out of. So that part might be a little bit bigger, but usually it's not going to be all that much bigger than a tampon. It's just going to have a longer handle.
Great. Yeah. And you use lubricant so it's more comfortable for people and do all the things to make sure that people are comfortable in something that can feel rather invasive.
Yeah. And there's a sterile cover that always goes over the probe. And so that there's the cover and then they put a little bit of the gel on the very tip of the probe. So, you know, it will be as least uncomfortable as possible.
Yeah. And then hopefully you get to see the most amazing sight, which is like this little sack and sometimes this little baby in it. And it's very, very exciting. So I always encourage people to like, hold on to that. Like, I know you're thinking of everything that's happening, but, and like you said, to relax is really important. Do you find that people ever listen to music or do breathing techniques or anything that might help?
Yeah. So what I think has worked the best is when I can tell that someone's really tensing up all their muscles and is just kind of anxious or, you know, not feeling comfortable. I just tell them, take a deep breath in and a deep breath out. And as they're taking a deep breath in, I start inserting the probe. And as they're exhaling, I use their breathing to help guide the probe where it needs to go. So yeah, just deep breaths really helps.
Wonderful. And I think my last question around this part of the ultrasound would be about how long does that vaginal ultrasound take on average?
Yeah. So if they're doing like a complete exam where we're evaluating the uterus, the gestational sac, the fetus in the sac, so that they'd be measuring the fetal pole, getting a heart rate. And then if they also evaluate the adnexus, which is where your ovaries are, it should not take more than 10 to 15 minutes. Right. Usually, for the most part.
Yeah. We won't hold you to that, we promise. But it's just good to give people an idea, because I think there's so many of us who, you know, might be listening to this trying to conceive, and they're like, okay, now I'm feeling a little, you know, less anxious. It's helpful to know what we might be experiencing. All right. Well, let's move on to the really common form of ultrasounds that, as you said, nowadays happen far more often, multiple times throughout pregnancy, and that is the abdominal ultrasound. So let's talk about those of us who have, you know, an apron belly. What is your advice around getting that ultrasound? Because I know sometimes techs need to get under it or to the side of it. And would it be helpful for people to say, hey, would you like me to move my belly? Or do you think it's better to wait and have someone ask? What are some tips and tricks around getting that abdominal ultrasound when you exist in that larger body?
Yeah. You know, if you have an apron belly that you can see that as the tech is starting to put the transducer down, if they have to kind of go under there, you know, it is definitely helpful. And I'm super open, and I really try to just communicate openly with my patients. I personally do ask them, can you lift your belly up for a little bit just so I can see, you know, your cervix? Or it depends on how far along you are and where baby's positioned. But usually what we would need to see that would be right under that part of the belly would be the cervix. And then if you're further along in your third trimester, the baby's head is usually right down there too.
Yeah.
So usually just for the beginning part of the exam is where I would need to put the transducer right there. And so, yeah, if you see that the tech is trying to get the probe under there, just, I think it'd be totally great to just communicate with them that, you know, you're conscious that, you know, that that's there and that they need to put the transducer there, and just say, I can just lift, you know, I can lift up my belly right there, and they'll appreciate that. And if not, you can, if you don't feel comfortable saying that, they should communicate with you too. If that's, you know, something that they're trying to get a clear image of, they can ask you that, and you just know that they're just doing that so they can get a good clear image of what they need to see.
Yes, you're just doing your job, and then the patient is just, you know, might need to get into different positions a bit or move a bit, and it's just helpful to know what to expect. So I hope those listening here, like, it's okay to say, and it can kind of, you know, be a little icebreaker, be like, hey, would you like me to move my belly if you need to be there? And I think that can help everyone be like, all right, we can do what we need to do now and do it quickly. Yeah. And then move on to a different area of the belly. How about those of us that have a B-shaped belly? Does that have any impact?
You know, usually not, because when you're laying down pretty flat, it does mostly smooth out those areas. And there's, I mean, as far as moving anything, I don't think there's anything anyone can move.
No.
So I think it's just, I'm trying to think if I've ever had that experience where I've had someone with a B belly that, you know, got in the way of the exam. And I honestly don't think I ever have.
Yeah. So I didn't think it would, but I just could imagine those of us with, I had a B-shaped belly during pregnancy, just being a little worried about it. But it shouldn't, like you said, when you're laying down, things move in different areas too.
Yeah, the gravity helps.
Yes. Speaking of moving, we hear a lot from people that, you know, you got to move to the left, move to the right, move a lot. Can you set that expectation for how much wiggling you might have to do during an ultrasound?
So during the ultrasound, there's really not much usually. The time I have patients move the most is the very beginning when they first lay down, because they're usually laying down too high or too low. And I just need them to be positioned high enough on the bed and close enough to me on the bed so that I can reach the further side of their belly in case baby or something I need to see on baby is on that side. So as far as moving, that's pretty much where I have my patients do the most moving, is just in the beginning and getting situated. Sometimes if I'm doing an anatomy scan where we do a detailed survey of the whole baby and we're looking at all the anatomy and making sure everything looks normal, sometimes if the baby's really not cooperating, I'll have mom kind of roll up to her side, maybe roll to the other side. But usually I actually try not to even have patients have to do that too much. I'll actually tilt the bed sometimes. Ooh. Or I'll have the patient get up and go to the restroom, use the bathroom, and then come back. And sometimes that gets baby to move as well. So that's pretty much.
We left that part off, right? You'd normally have a full bladder during the
So yes, in the abdominal, at the, when you're doing an abdominal ultrasound, it's safe to assume you should always come with the full bladder, and you don't have to be bursting, you don't have to be, you know, chugging so much water and feel like you're gonna, you know, wet your pants. You just need to not use the restroom about half an hour beforehand. And sometimes a full bladder will help us see baby better. It will help us see something that we need to see better. Especially the cervix, when you're further along, the full bladder is kind of like creating a window right to the cervix where we can see it better. So we can get a good measurement. And then usually if it's not helping us see anything better, and if you're uncomfortable, we will just let you go.
Nice. Are you plus size and pregnant or trying to conceive? Do you wonder where you can find cute plus size maternity clothes, or when you'll start showing and how to embrace your pregnant body? What about having a healthy pregnancy and how to reduce your increased risk? Find the answers to these questions and so much more within the My Plus Size Pregnancy Guide and audiobook. From nutrition and physical activity to prenatal care expectations and the importance of hiring a size-friendly care provider, you'll not only learn information to help you make informed decisions throughout your pregnancy, but start to develop a new relationship with your body. Download this guide and start using it at any point in your pregnancy. Stop Googling and start feeling empowered today. Use code PLUSMOMMY to get 20% off the My Plus Size Pregnancy Guide and audiobook. So what about the pressure? Because this is where I hear that people are left bruised. Sometimes even people have said they've been left bleeding. And I think that's more of when it's going under in the apron belly area. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah. Okay. So communication is, I think, the most important thing for both the tech and the patient. So I do my job as thoroughly as possible, which means that I try to get the best images for the doctor and for you, the patient. Because, you know, we're printing out pictures. I'm printing out pictures as I go for you to take home as well. So I'm trying to get the best pictures. And because we are traveling, the sound waves are traveling a little bit more distances. And so the images are, you know, not as clear. When you push, you're decreasing the distance. So naturally, you're getting a slightly clearer picture. So that pressure, that's what the pressure and the pushing comes in from. But that should never be at the expense of your comfort, your preferred comfort level. So, you know, if it's a little bit uncomfortable, but you're fine with it because you want those clearer pictures and images, that's fine. But if it's to the point where, you know, you feel like uncomfortable, like you feel kind of like squirming, or you feel like that's going to bruise, definitely just let the tech know. Just say, hey, that's a little bit too much pressure. And they should 100% be able to lighten up. Yeah. And there's no need for them to continue pushing that hard if you're, you know, especially if you're in pain.
Thank you for sharing that. I think, you know, for people of all sizes, but especially I think for those of us that exist in larger bodies, we're so used to shrinking and trying to accommodate and, you know, doing whatever we need to make things easier for others and not using our voice as often as we should. And there are those of us that are real great at speaking up and advocating for themselves. But the majority of us, especially when we're in a vulnerable position, it can be hard to use your voice. And definitely hear what Paulina just said of it's important to speak up. And I'm sure the tech doesn't want to be causing you pain either. They're trying to do their job and get what you need, like what was just explained. But you shouldn't be left, especially bleeding, right? My heart breaks and I get these messages more often than I'd like to say. And you know, if it's a bad experience, then I think people should also speak up and let their care providers know, because that bedside manner and when things are said that can be hurtful. Again, you're just trying to do your job as an ultrasound tech, but no one should ever be made to feel ashamed or be fat shamed in these situations.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I actually have a story about that. So yeah. I had a patient that I scanned. It was probably about 5 years ago. And she was, I had to push a little bit harder to get clearer images. And, you know, people also have different sensitivity levels and what they can handle. And, you know, when you're not that person, you have no idea where that sensitivity level is. So, you know, I had done several of her ultrasounds because she was getting them frequently. And then we recently saw her come back and she was talking to one of my coworkers and they were talking about ultrasounds. And she was like, oh, I just don't want that tech because she, you know, she really hurt me. And so basically my coworker told me this and I was heartbroken because I was like, I didn't know. I was, you know, I was probably pushing how I would normally push, nothing worse than on anybody else, right, or anything like that. But I think she probably had more sensitive skin or maybe, that type of pushing hurt her more than it would somebody else. So definitely. Yeah. And that's why I always try to be conscious of if that's, you know, if I have to push a little harder, I usually tell people, you know, I have to push on you a little bit. I'm sorry. So I try to let them know that I am conscious of the pressure that I have to use and kind of open the door for them to be able to say, yeah, that's pretty hard. Just that two-way communication is just helps everybody.
Thank you for sharing that story because it's clear that your heart is in the right place. And here you were someone that someone else felt like, oh, I don't want to work with her. Where, you know, after talking to you for a while, I'm like, well, I want you to do my ultrasounds. You know, it's just like if we're not speaking up, the person doesn't know that it might be too hard. Or maybe if they're having problems with imaging, you could even speak up and say, hey, you can press a little harder. And that's something mm-hmm. we might have not known before listening to you share that, you know, that's how you're going to get a better imaging. But yeah, I mean, you might, depending upon how sensitive your skin is, you could be left with some bruising, right? But it shouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, it shouldn't be something that you feel like you can't handle. And then, with the bleeding, like that's a little bit shocking to me because I have not seen or heard anyone that's happened to. And so to hear that is happening out there to someone, that's really sad. And if it's with like apron bellies, I think in that case, you know, you should definitely just, you can tell the tech, hey, you know, if you need to push really hard, I can lift up my belly so you don't have to push as hard.
Great. And, thank you.
Yeah. And hopefully that will help that not happen.
Yeah. And it's good to hear that bleeding should not be happening. And it is, yeah, if it no. was, that was way too hard. So how long would you say is just a normal abdominal ultrasound? And then how long is it for around the 20-week scan that's going to be more invasive?
Mm-hmm. So for the abdominal, if you're doing an abdominal first trimester or third trimester, so where we're pretty much just getting a basic measurement, or an estimated fetal weight, that's going to take anywhere between 10 to 20 minutes, depending on how detailed their exams are, because every office is a little bit different about their protocols and what all images they need to document. And then a 20-week anatomy scan is also depends on the tech and just depends on how experienced they are, as well as how the baby is positioned. That's a pretty big one, is how easily is the baby letting us see all the anatomy we're trying to evaluate. So that can take anywhere from probably 20 to 45 minutes. And in some cases, if it's a much more detailed exam, it could take an hour.
Great. That's good to know about how long to expect. This has been so helpful. We know that we can speak up. We know it doesn't care if we've waxed or shaved or not. We mm-hmm. know that we can, you know, offer to lift our bellies up or just be expecting that might be something. And if it hurts or if we're uncomfortable, always speak up. And to know that we don't have to consent to anything, and anything can stop at any point. If at any point you're uncomfortable, you can say, I'd like things to stop. But for most of the time, it's a pretty seamless, positive experience, right?
I would think so. Usually everyone's always excited to see me.
Yes, because you get to see the baby and then hear the heartbeat and all those really exciting moments. Is there anything else that you could think of or that you'd think we didn't cover around just preparing for those different types of ultrasounds during pregnancy in a larger body?
So like I mentioned, just make sure you come with the full bladder, or at least don't use the restroom right before, just in case the tech does, you know, want to start off with a full bladder. And the other thing is also around hydration. Stay hydrated. This is important in general, but also for ultrasound. What's kind of cool is when you're hydrated, when you're well hydrated, your tissues are hydrated, which can also help the resolution of the images. So again, we can just get clearer images, regardless of adipose, regardless of all that. If you are well hydrated, it can help just with the overall resolution. And also it's going to make sure that you have optimal amniotic fluid. And so ultrasound sees really well through fluid. So if baby has a lot, you know, a good amount of fluid all the way around, we're going to see baby better and clearer and get better and clearer images and pictures for you.
Ah, so cool how it all works. And of course, staying hydrated during pregnancy is so important.
I was going to say, I just read somewhere that hydration means not just the day of the ultrasound, for your actual tissues to be well hydrated. You want to be staying hydrated well over a week beforehand. I mean, you should always be, right. But if you're wanting to specifically prepare for those images, you want to be hydrated, you know, a week or two leading up to the ultrasound. So make sure you're drinking plenty of water, plenty of fluids.
That kind of reminds me of the dentist. It's like, don't floss the morning of, and think they won't notice. You want to be doing it every night, but more than a week. So yeah,
exactly.
It's a good reminder for all of those things and overall health benefits with staying hydrated and flossing as well. What about, as you know, the work that you do, and for other providers that might be listening, and techs and medical assistants and everyone in your field that supports people during pregnancy in larger bodies, what message do you have for anyone listening who is a professional in their field?
I mean, just now, especially, you know, when someone's pregnant, despite their size, it's always the time to be sensitive and to be kind, and to communicate openly with, in a sensitive manner. So I think that should just always be the rule, but especially when someone's pregnant and they have a lot of things that they might be insecure or self-conscious about, even more so the time to just double down on, being kind to them, being, encouraging, and, just communicating. You know, you can tell people, you know, where things are difficult, where things are easier, without making them feel bad. Just, you know, just the way that it is. And, you know, most people in the medical world and, you know, in my field, like, we totally get that and understand that. So just continuing to have that conscious compassion and kindness towards everyone.
I love it. I feel more relieved. Like, I went into this conversation really excited, but also a little anxious, because I've just heard, you know, some stories from people feeling ashamed or left really bruised. And I just want to really remind people that more times rather than not, you're going to have a really great, fun, positive experience, but to always, always speak up, and to know, to go into this knowing that it's going to be a little harder for the tech, and to get that accurate photos, especially early on in pregnancy for those abdominal ultrasounds. And so if there's little things that we can do, like offer to move our bellies or know that they might have to be pushing hard, we know to speak up, but just so we can feel prepared and have that expectation when getting the ultrasound. So I feel really relieved, and I hope others do too, and feel excited for future ultrasound experiences. So thank you so much.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Well, you're cool. Welcome.
Well, we really appreciate you and having you on the show, and thank you for all the patients that you serve and helping so many people to feel, you know, excited for this time in their lives as well.
Yeah, it's my honor to do so.
Oh, well, thank you. All right, friends, until next time. Bye.
Bye.